I will be reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning, chapter 4, and I'll be reading from 32 through 37. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of Scripture. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Now, if you downloaded a bulletin from online, and also there on the screen, you see our scripture reading listed as the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. I will be reading that in just a moment. But before I read that, I want to finish the story in Acts that Kathy began reading. Well, you see, our lectionary text stopped at verse 35. Kathy read through verse 37, which completed the fourth chapter of Acts. But then the fifth chapter of Acts begins with the word "but." And I've learned one thing in reading Scripture. Whenever you encounter a therefore or a but, you need to start reading the whole context. So this story continues. Just in case you have forgotten, Kathy's story ended with Barnabas selling a field and giving everything to the community, just as everyone else had done. But a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife, Sapphira, sold a piece of property with his wife's knowledge. He kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. "Ananias," Peter asked, "why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God." Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard it. The young men came and wrapped up his body, then carried him out and buried him. And after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price." And she said, "Well, yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." And immediately she fell down at his feet and died. And when the young men came in, they found her dead. So they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard of these things. And now from John, the 20th chapter, It begins when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week. That day meaning the day we now refer to as Easter, the day of resurrection. On that day, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jews came and stood among them and said, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be among you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. Yes, last week was Easter. And last week we read the Easter story from the Gospel of Mark, and we were given a gift. And that gift was that the story of resurrection in the Gospel of Mark is without resolution. It ends with the disciples running away and hiding in fear with no interpretation of what this means. And in today's lectionary reading, which we just heard, we hear that later that day, the disciples were locked away in fear. Beginning today, and for the next few weeks, we are going to explore some of these stories that follow the resurrection stories. Stories from the Gospels as well as stories from the Gospel, from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostle. We are going to explore some of these stories that elaborate on the primal story, to see how these first believers and these first communities experienced and dealt with this fear that gripped them. Every year during the Easter season, our lectionary gives us readings from the book of Acts instead of from the Old Testament. And so it does give us this opportunity to see how these first followers of Jesus struggled with what had happened and what this meant for their lives and how to find their way out of the fear of living without Jesus and into the presence promised by Jesus. This is the message Jesus gave them on that final night. I will no longer be with you, but I will be present with you. And this first reading from Acts is an amazing one indeed. Not long after locking themselves away in fear, the followers of Jesus are emboldened by the Spirit of God that is breathed into them. This is reminiscent of God breathing life into creation itself in the creation stories of the Old Testament. And very soon, this band of people form into a community of mutual interdependence. And this community is described as being of one heart and soul. This is not just a feeling or a belief. It is practical sharing of themselves and their possessions until the story tells us there is not a needy person among them. Now, this community is in some ways a reflection, again, back to the creation story of Genesis. It's a reflection back to the garden of Genesis where everyone's needs are met and they live in harmony and peace and interdependence with all of creation. However, just like in that first story of creation, this new story of creation is soon shattered by one single act. I want you to look at the phrases that frame this story in Acts. It begins, "Those who believed were of one heart and soul. Grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them." And by the time we get to the end of the story, it says, "And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard these things." And the story of Ananias and Sapphira is how this community gets from one heart and soul to great fear. We don't hear this story often. It's not included in the lectionary. I wonder why. We don't hear it often, probably because it scares us. And you can bet your bottom dollar, that pun is intended by the way, that we don't read it during stewardship season. We don't put it on the back of pledge cards. Now, can you imagine Peter paying you a visit to talk about your pledge to the church? It would be like answering your doorbell to hear, "Hello, I'm Bob Woodward," or "Christine Amanpour," or "Anderson Cooper," or "Chris Wallace. And I've got a few questions for you about your church pledge." Can you imagine that? And this is also probably not a story we want to hear this time of year, as many of us are preparing or paying our taxes. So if we're not talking about money, what are we talking about here? What is this story about? Well, I've already made allusion to one interpretation, and that is as a creation story. This story calls us back into the abundant good of creation, reminding us that there is, always has been, and always will be enough. There is no scarcity in creation. Creation is abundant. Scarcity is created by human fear. Human fear of not having enough. And the result of this fear is holding back. Holding back more than we really need. Or creating the illusion that we need more than we really do and holding on to that. And all of this only creates more fear, which leads to more holding back and more holding on. And then the creation of economic, moral, and political systems that allow us to do this with good conscience. So you see, Even if we allegorize and metaphorize this story, it still remains unsettling and disturbing. And it's disturbing because it calls us into radical re-examination and reimagination of our lives and our communities. The Bible stories of Jesus' resurrection show the same effect on those who witnessed and told these stories. The effect of reimagination, of re-examination. These post-resurrection stories that we will be studying are windows into how resurrection also gives us the opportunity for a do-over. We are called into remembering the abundance of creation and our place in it. And also that creation is an existence of reciprocity, where, as Jesus put it, we reap what we sow. You know, we treat the Easter story and the whole gospel for that matter with kid gloves, turning it into a feel-good story where everyone is thrilled and happy to see their friend Jesus again and all live happily ever after. And we don't have to do a darn thing, and we get our ticket to heaven stamped. Easter is more like, I would say, the morning after a hurricane or a tornado. Waking to discover a world where everything has been turned upside down, where fragile and vulnerable societal structures in which we live are torn apart, revealing the fractures, the separations, the oppression, the inequality, the indignity created by human fear. I think we're living in an age of resurrection right now, as so many fearful societal structures are being brought into the light. White supremacy, racism, sexism, homophobia, misogyny, radical religion, environmental abuse, economic inequality. Our world is being turned upside down. And this is what resurrection does to us. These stories tell us that this blue and green sphere in space that we call Earth is not necessarily an old creation story or a new creation story. It's the only creation story. It's the only home we have. And it's a home that thrives on interdependence and mutuality and suffers whenever anyone, even a single person anywhere, holds back or holds on. And this brings us back to Jesus' words in that locked and fearful room on that very day when he said to the disciples, "Peace be with you. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is how we treat one another. The human heart is a microcosm of the whole cosmos. The human heart is where it begins. It is the place of letting go or holding back, leading to abundant life or to death. Jesus brings it home. The whole process is right here in our own hearts. And peace, the peace that Jesus brings, is a place of forgiving ourselves and each other. It is a place of repentance. It is a place of change. It is a place of awakening to the systems of fear that we have created and come to complacently and conveniently live in. But our actions, our inner transformation, is not where it stops, because it radiates into the world. Because whatever we forgive ourselves of, we forgive others. What does that old song say? Let there be peace on earth, but let it begin in me. This is not just a wish or a pipe dream, my friends. It is how creation works. And each and every moment of our lives is an Easter moment, filled with a gift of opportunity and potential and the chance for a do-over. Amen. No holding back. As many of you know, yesterday we had a memorial service right here in this sanctuary and online for Rosemary Collins, who was our music director here at Trinity and was taken from us by COVID back in December. Rosemary was a person who did not hold back. She gave everything she had to everything she did. And I'd like to share with us one little reading that I shared yesterday. Actually, I sort of whimsically shared this as a scripture reading, as from the canon of Rodgers and Hammerstein, the book of Sound of Music, Act 1, Scene 5C. And it goes like this. A bell is no bell till you ring it. A song is no song till you sing it. And love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love till you give it away. My friends, we are given the gift of life so that we can give life in its fullness, in everything, and with everyone throughout all of creation. And that, my friends, is living through the fear into resurrection. Amen.